And here Paul, the apostle, faced by a hostile crowd, begins to tell his story. Acts chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. "Brothers and fathers," he says, "listen to the defense that I now make before you." And when the crowd heard him addressing them in Hebrew, they became even more quiet. Then he said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, educated strictly according to our ancestral law, being zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted this Christian way up to the point of death by binding both men and women and putting them in prison, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me. From them I also received letters to the brothers in Damascus, and I went there in order to bind those who were there and to bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. While I was on my way and approaching Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone about me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. I asked, 'What am I to do, Lord?' The Lord said to me, 'Get up and go to Damascus. There you will be told everything that has been assigned to you to do.' Since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, those who were with me took my hand and led me to Damascus. A certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law and well spoken of by all the Jews living there, came to me, and standing beside me, he said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' In that very hour, I regained my sight and saw him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his own voice. For you will be his witness to all the world of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as you keep that passage open, or rather, just turn back, if you would, to page 139, the page where we began. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this riveting story that St. Paul told of how Jesus met him. Help us, we pray, to learn from him, to be encouraged by him, and to imitate him, whatever our story may be like. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen. Well, you've already got the Bibles open on your lap at page 139, and if by any chance you haven't, then do take that Bible out from the seat in front of you and turn to page 139. And today, for reasons that will become apparent, I'm going to ask you especially to take the notebook and pencil out. You may like to take notes as we go through the outline on the screen, but if not, have that notebook and pencil ready, because you will need it later on in the course of this talk. Every week recently, Chapo, John Chapman, has phoned or emailed me. The Lifesaver Festival's coming soon, he said. It's going to be great fun. Well, forgive the accent, but his enthusiasm is infectious. I'm trying to pray every day for the festival, and I'm increasingly expecting that several of the guests whom you and I bring will become Christians, will find Christ. We need training if we're going to make the most of the festival. And that's why in September we began a series of sermons entitled Helping Others Find Christ. So far we've looked at the question, why should I help others find Christ? It demands my time. I need to pray and invite my friends and bring them with me. And some of them may say, no, why should I do it? And we've looked at two of the Bible's many answers to that question. First, because God opens doors for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul says, a wide door for effective work has opened to me. God often opens doors for us in Crowbury. And during the festival, there will be many, many opportunities to bring our friends, our family, people we know from different groups or organizations, to well-run events when they will hear the Christian message. And in God's goodness, this may prove just the open door your friend needs. Chauncey helped us to grasp a second reason, because we fear God's judgment and we're motivated by God's love. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. Did you notice that in the song that we sang at the beginning, the fear of hell? Because we know, as Paul has just said, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we long that our friends will be ready for that with their sins forgiven. And we fear that because of our silence, they might not be ready. And then Paul, in that same context, says, the love of Christ hems us in. The love of Christ for people controls how we speak and when we speak and makes us long for those we're fond of to know his love. That's what we've seen in our sermons so far. And now we come to the practical question, how can I help others find Christ? People say, that's what stops me doing anything. I don't know how to do it, what to say. We'll be looking at several answers to that question over the next few weeks. But the simplest and easiest answer is this, by telling them my story. Most people enjoy hearing stories, especially true stories, and about you, their friend. And many, many people you know would be interested in the story of how you found Christ. Paul the Apostle knew that. That's why we hear his story, the story of how he found Christ, or more accurately, how Christ found him, three times in the book of Acts. And the way he tells his story can help us learn how to tell our story. He begins with how I used to think of Christianity. For Paul, he tells us first how he was brought up. That is, how he was brought up by his parents and in his education. That's how his speech to his fellow Jews begins. So look with me at the bottom of the page, chapter 22, verse 3. I am a Jew, he says, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, that's Jerusalem, educated strictly according to our ancestral law. being zealous for God. He says he came from a Jewish family, that he was given a thorough knowledge of the Jewish law, and that the Jewish faith was important to him. And then he tells us his attitude to Christianity, how he disliked it. Look over the page at chapter 4. I persecuted this Christian way up to the point of death by binding both men and women and putting them in prison, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me. That was all, of course, before he became a Christian, before he was found by Christ. And it's the essential first part of his story, because it tells us how he used to think about Christianity before he was changed. Well, this is the moment where I'm going to ask everyone here to take out the notebook, if you haven't done that already, from the seat pocket in front of you. If there isn't one in the seat pocket in front of you, take one next to you. Everyone here, if you would kindly do that, and take the pencil that you will also find there. And I want you, please, to write down, just for your own benefit, I won't ask you to show it to anyone, to write down the first part of your story. So if you're sitting on the front row, you'll have to look from the back seat there and get a copy of the notebook. How were you brought up? Were you taught about Christianity? Did you believe in Christ then, or did you not know much about him? And what, a little later on, as a young adult, did you think of Christianity? Were you hostile to it, like Paul the Apostle, or indifferent to it, or were you more positive towards it? Well, you have just under 2 minutes to write this part of your story down. Well, I wonder what you wrote down. Here, just in shorthand, is what I wrote. Church-going family. Prayers at night. They weren't very particularly good ones, but still. I did believe, but God distant. I put down teenager increasing doubts. Argued against the Christian faith, but still intrigued, interested. And then I would have liked to know that God was a reality, but couldn't imagine how that could happen. You'll have written something different. Now Paul moves on to the second part of his story, how Jesus met me and spoke to me. For Paul himself, this meeting was sudden and specific. Look at verse 6. While I was on my way and approaching Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone about me. Paul knew exactly when it happened and where. Now, we don't know what led up to this, what may have prepared him for it, but we do know how he met with Jesus Christ. That's part of the story he tells. And he says how Jesus clearly spoke to him, verses 7 and 8. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, Who are you, Lord? Then he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And again, verse 10, I asked, What am I to do, Lord? The Lord said to me, Get up and go to Damascus. There you will be told everything that has been assigned for you to do. When Jesus meets with you, gets through to you, and changes your life, you don't forget it. And Paul told this story again and again. Now, this is the moment to take the notepad and pencil again and write down, how did it work for you? How did Jesus meet you? Was it on a particular day? It was for many of us. For me, it was the 27th of October, 1967. Or was it over a period of time so that you could say, at the beginning of that summer, I wasn't really a committed Christian. I didn't know Jesus Christ, but by the autumn I did. And how did Jesus speak to you? How did he get through to you? What made you realize he is alive and wanted you to be his follower and friend? And if you're not quite yet a follower of Christ, then jot down what are the ways, if any, that Jesus is speaking to you now. Again, you have just under 2 minutes to write this part of your story down, how Jesus met me and spoke to me. And then Paul comes on to the third part of his story, how I needed to respond. In Paul's case, he tells us how he was helped by a Christian, verses 12 and 13. A certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law, and well spoken of by all the Jews living there, came to me, and standing beside me, he said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. His sight was restored, and then, verse 14, Ananias said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his own voice. Jesus had spoken to Paul on the Damascus Road, but he wasn't yet a Christian. And this other Christian believer, Ananias, helped him to make sense of what he'd experienced, explained to him about Jesus, whom he calls here the Righteous One, and showed him that he, Paul, still had something to do. He had to ask for baptism and forgiveness. Ananias said, verse 16, "And now why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name." So Paul needed to pray to Jesus, to ask Jesus to forgive him all his past wrongs, his sins, and to be baptized as a sign that from now on he belonged to Jesus. Now, one last time, I'm going to ask you to take the notepad and pencil and write down how it was for you. Who helped you to see what you needed to do? How you needed to respond? Was it a friend at work or college or school? Was it a preacher? I can see at least one of you out there, and I know exactly the preacher who helped you, or a youth leader. Was it a member of your family? Who was it, and what did they say? And then, what did you do to become a Christian? Did you pray a prayer of commitment to Jesus? As Paul puts it here, calling on his name. Did you go forward at a meeting or sign a card? And can you remember the first time, and this may be particularly important for you who perhaps were brought up always believing, can you remember the first time you said clearly to someone else that now you belonged to Jesus? One last time, you have just less than 2 minutes to write down this part of your story. How I needed to respond, or if you're not there yet, how I need to respond. Well, let me try to sum up what we've seen this morning. The question is, how can I prepare to help others find Christ? I want my friends to find Christ, as I have done. I long for my family members to know Christ, because I fear for them if I keep silent and they meet Christ, the final judge, unprepared. And because the love of Christ fills me, and I so want them to know his love. So how can I prepare to help them at the Lifesaver Festival or even this week? Here are three suggestions, very briefly, arising from today's passage. First, write out your story. This morning you've done it in rough. There could be no better use for you of this afternoon, or if sometime this week, if this afternoon isn't possible, then to write it out in full. Not reams and reams. Paul just gave us the main points. Now write it out so that you could tell it in 2 or 3 minutes. Stick to the essentials. Miss out the incidentals of how you became a committed Christian. Second, learn your story. I don't mean by that learn it every word by heart so that you repeat it like a parrot. But know your story well so that you've got it at your fingertips. Paul had, and he told the story apparently again and again. So have it ready. So that if a friend asked you, how exactly did you get into Christianity, you could answer clearly, interestingly, briefly, and helpfully. And third, tell your story. Tell it whenever you get a chance. I try to make opportunities to tell my story. I often say to people, I haven't always been a Christian, you know, in the hope that they'll say, haven't you? How did that come about then? Or I'll say, before I became a Christian, and then I'll say what I used to do or how I used to feel. Again, hoping they'll say, what do you mean before you became a Christian? Or sometimes I just say, obviously if we're talking, I don't say it out of the blue, but if we're talking about things religious, I say, could I tell you the story of how I became a Christian? Paul seems to have told his story whenever he had a half a chance. We can and must do the same. Everyone likes a story, providing it's clear and personal and not too long. You may say, as Kevin said at the beginning, my story is rather uneventful. No one would be interested in how I found Christ. But you're mistaken if you think like that. People are interested, will be interested, so tell your story. Tell it whenever you can. And watch how God uses it to touch your friends or people you just meet. It may well be a further step in your helping them find their Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to pray in a moment, but before I do, rip out that page from the notebook. Put the notebook back, if you would, and the pencil through the spiral spine in the pocket so that it can be used by somebody else tonight. It won't be the same sermon tonight, by the way. Totally different, but somebody might want it to take notes. And then take that away and write it up this afternoon or at some other stage. Now, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my story. It's very, very precious to me. Because unless you had reached down and touched me and spoken to me and found me, I wouldn't be your child today. I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't be bound for eternal life, but rather for something much, much more fearful. And I long, we all long, that the people we meet, whether just casually tomorrow, friends and family whom we know and love deeply, we long that they might find the same love, the same knowledge of you, the same friendship with you. Give us opportunities this week to tell our story. To the glory of Jesus' name. Amen.